M32, number 3B.
So, what does it mean? And we have to be careful about it. Does it mean that if we are faced with a problem, that we say there is no problem and leave it at there, at that point? What does it mean that we say it's a problem is unknown? Does it mean that we just neglect it? And it means that God knows no problem, huh? Therefore, we would at that point still handle, say, a situation, but not as a problem, huh? But we would say, on the level of science itself, recognize that God does not know a problem, huh? That God, therefore, the positive sense of it is to establish in consciousness that God knows only himself. Huh? That's what we have established there. So we actually do handle the problem by acknowledging what God knows about himself, but not anything about the problem itself. Huh? But it's still handling the problem. Can you see? I'm not quite sure. Yeah? So we don't leave it in suspense. We don't leave it as a neutrum. Neutrum? In the neuter, huh? In the neuter. We do something very positive. Namely, we are aware of what God knows about himself. Of mind knowing mind knowing spirit, mind knowing only soul, mind only knowing principle and life, truth and love, of spirit only knowing itself as mind and as spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love. See, then we fill our consciousness as the one and the only. If we go further and reduce it or translate it to the level of divine science, how do we handle there a problem? How do we deal there with a problem? The problem is excluded. Huh? So we can put there excluded. Huh? Yeah, is excluded. Now, what would be the difference between science itself and here divine science? Between what we said on science itself knows not, no problem, and the divine science excludes it. What is the difference in our attitude, in our consciousness of dealing, which are still dealing with the problem, or with the suggestion of a problem? What is the difference here? Would you have a sense how we would handle it differently?
One, the science is an isness sense, and the other is an operational sense. The divine science is an operational
sense. Is an operational sense? There is an isness sense, but that doesn't give me quite an answer how we deal with the problem. I mean, we said on the level of science itself, we deal with the problem by not dealing with it, but by dealing actually God with God. Huh? By seeing all that is going on is God being God. God being conscious of itself as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. What then would be our attitude on the level of divine science when you say, here the problem is excluded, or evil is excluded? What then would we entertain in consciousness? Yes, friend?
By excluding it, you have recognized it to a certain extent.
Yes. Yeah, but does that handle it by giving it a certain recognition?
Oh, I thought you asked what was the difference.
Yeah, that's the difference. Now, what is the difference in the consciousness of handling the problem? See, we have dealing with a problem. How do you deal it? Not just by
excluding it.
Yeah. Right. How do you do that in consciousness? Go on. Yes, that's
With the total oneness of principle, it is excluded.
Yeah, it is excluded.
Within the oneness of principle. Mm-hmm.
If you would give me a treatment on that basis, how would that treatment go, for instance? You see, I just want to make it very practical.
Principle and its idea have a replay.
as you can go on more, huh? Because, see, the point is here that exclusion is an exclusion which you realize as being excluded. That is, on the level of science itself, so as to show the difference, you, we have said, knows no problem. Therefore, you know the truth. So it is saying, mind knows itself only that which is mind, only knows its own mind, knows only its infinite mind, knows only the one mind. That's God knowing himself, mind knowing itself. When you go further down to the level of divine science where the problem is excluded, you exclude it in your consciousness by going a step further and saying, all right, I have learned that mind is conscious of itself only as its own mind, as the only mind. Therefore, evil mind, mortal mind, is absolutely excluded, is no part in it. Then you stress already that the opposite is no, is excluded. Huh? But you have to stress the opposite. Can you see that that reinforces your treatment? Again, you can see that whole deduction from the level of science down is actually a method that is adapted to the human consciousness in order to rectify human consciousness, first by establishing the true sense and negating the wrong sense. So at that point you begin to realize, I have to see the opposite, that there is no mortal mind, there is no evil mind, there is no personal mind, there is no suggestion of a mortal mind, there is no opportunity for a mortal mind, there is no law nor action or anything in mortal mind that is excluded, it doesn't exist there. So you can see it's stressing very much the exclusion of it, yes? That's the difference between knowing not and excluding it. If we translate that to the level of absolute Christian Science, how do we deal with problems there? Yes? Come on, you have studied the whole year. Yeah? Okay, you can say evil here is treated as a misinterpretation or a misunderstanding, a misconception, a miss of the right idea, and you begin to deal with it in a positive way. That we are actually here solving positive problems and see that every problem is actually a positive problem, and that what seems a negative problem would anyway be only a misinterpretation, a misunderstanding, a misconception of that problem. And so we begin here to calculate specifically the truth about the situation. It's actually at this point very much where a Christian Science practitioner gives usually in a general way his treatment, or even further down then on the level of Christian Science, but where with what we know today as a synonymous term and their ideas, we begin to calculate ideas and solve positive problems. How do we do that? We do that by just blending these ideas, the ideas of mind, and blending the ideas with spirit, and blending the idea with ideas of soul, and principle, life, truth, and love. That's how we handle a problem at this point. We establish again a positive fact, but we establish it through ideas and not through the synonymous terms. And therefore we need now to know the whole calculus of ideas. If you go further to the level of Christian Science, what do we get there? That's now mostly the case in the Christian Science practice. It's really mostly on that level, on that point, of dealing with a problem in Christian Science is what? So easy that nobody wants to say it, I know. So it's dealing with negative problems, with a false calculation. And we deal with that false calculation by calculating rightly and thereby seeing that these calculations offset wrong calculations. So it's again somehow the correlative to divine science, but in divine science we only calculate with the synonymous terms. Here we calculate with ideas. Okay. Now, I think at this moment I just can put in a little side remark again, because I feel that's perhaps just the time to do that. Because I have said, you see, on the level of science, divine science, you really handle the problem of evil through the synonymous terms. On the level, really, of absolute Christian science and Christian science, you handle the problem through the ideas. And that shows again the great necessity of what we are talking about in the first hour. That we have to be aware where we are spiritually. Not where, with our thinking, we can somehow see it intellectually or in an academic way. We see how things would become very simple and easy the moment we would be able to be aware of reality only through the capitalized terms, which would be the level of divine science and science itself. Because then we would not have really to calculate ideas on the level of absolute Christian science, nor would we have to deal with the mortal calculus on the level of Christian science. And this is what really impressed me, or not impressed me, what I would say urged itself on my consciousness over the last few years. That with all my heart I wish that the students would be willing to culture their consciousness through of the synonymous term and the other capitalized term through their ideas to such an extent that they don't need the ideas anymore. That they just can reason in mind and not in mind is intelligence, mind is action, mind is power, mind is leading, mind is guiding, but just through mind. And you see the whole realm of mind through all the ideas. And through the synonymous term spirit, you just see, oh, reality has to do with spirit, reality is spirit. And the whole realm of spirit opens up. So that you don't need to think, yes, spirit is that. Now what is this? I have to remember what is now spirit. Oh yes, I think I know what spirit is. Yeah. Spirit is substance, spirit is reality, spirit is birth, spirit is fruit, spirit is unfoldment. See? That isn't spirit. Huh? That's counting ideas, remembering, memorizing ideas. But if we have cultured our consciousness in the concept building to the point of tonality building, as we have done it in syllabus 2, if you have touched that, you are absolutely at ease just to think in terms of mind, spirit, of soul, of principle, of life, of truth, and of love. And the whole world opens so that you feel all that's going on is actually mind as the Word of God, as the Christ, as Christianity, a science. And the whole world is there, mind in the fore. And we don't need any ideas to elaborate it, to embellish it, to make it big. Huh? But that's something actually that we only can do when we get the tonality of it. And so little by little we will be able to handle our existence, to handle our life problems, not through a lot of talking, not through a lot of trying to think right things, trying to have positive thoughts, things like that, but just to listen to the symphony of being that plays that great symphony just with the seven, with the four, and the four. And think of the last four. Actually, the last four, the levels are perhaps those that are not so vivid, so near as the others may be yet, but they are the most necessary, because they are the ones that say, yes, there is only one mind, and that mind is the mind of all the levels. And you just see in one go at that one mind that is the mind of God, is the mind on the level of science, on the level of divine science as the old mind, on the level really of absolute Christian science as the mind that guides and creates and leads every situation, as the mind of Christian science that comes to every human situation as the corrective mind and corrects everything. You have in one tone, if the levels are awake and natural within oneself, you have in one mind the whole translation from God mind right down to mortal mind, where you see that mortal mind is just mind misunderstood, and you don't fear it anymore. You are not bothered with mortal mind anymore. You don't fear it anymore. You don't think it's a big thing. You don't think it has power, it has law, it has opportunity, it has a channel, it has a person, it has a voice, it can talk, it can feel, etc. It's just gone. And we'll do that at the end of this week. We'll go through those seven in the level sense. But can you see what I want to achieve with the syllabus class? That I would... like to lead you right from syllabus class 1 out of religion first into a science that has order, into an ordered line of thinking, and lead it right through the concept building, to tonality building, to consciousness building, to being building, not only of the seven but of the four side and of the four level. And then your whole consciousness is that consciousness which is God, that is only aware of itself through the seven and the four and the four. And it becomes easier, but more powerful. Yes. Okay, that was that. We can take another problem, the next column, and I can state the problem and ask, what has to be demonstrated? You know, that's the question in the next column. What has to be demonstrated? Yeah. What has to be demonstrated? Okay. Do you see what the problem, what the exercise is? Again, I would like to show that it is a very everyday question. Namely, Christian scientists are well known that they always have to demonstrate something. So they want to make a demonstration. Seldom they ask themselves, what has to be demonstrated? Usually they say, well, that's obvious. That has to be demonstrated, which I want to be demonstrated. That's all. That's as easy as that. Now, if we have a measuring rod through the four levels, those four levels tell us what has to be demonstrated in order to be science. If you are on the level of science itself, which is naturally a terrific high level of consciousness, what is to be demonstrated? When you take demonstration in its proper sense, in its large proper sense of showing forth, demonstrare, to show forth, what has to be demonstrated there? Knowing God himself, for instance, yes? Just make it short, itself. Yeah? What has to be demonstrated is God itself. Huh? You are only interested there in what we have seen is the 7th and 8,000 year period. Huh? Namely that we are not demonstrating people, nor body, nor health, nor anything like that, but being itself. That being on that level only has one demonstration in view, to demonstrate itself, to show forth itself. That's de monstrare, to present itself. Isn't that something? Think of it, if we really would be good scientists, we would really have as our main view to demonstrate God, as God, not God as people, and as more money, and as a better body, and things like that. Our main interest would be there to demonstrare, to present better what God is. So it is demonstrating itself. What would we get if we come to the level of divine science? Now here we have another thing, huh? Here we have something else. Divine science, you know, has a universe, has a realm, has something to demonstrate except itself. I think there you see divine science has always to do with the divine ideal, and therefore what we demonstrate there is the divine ideal of God. Not God himself, but God's divine ideal. Yes? Again, can you see that is a high aim that we are interested in? We are interested to see that God's ideal is being brought forth, that God's ideal is being presented. Be it as fatherhood, or as sonship, or as son, or as mother, or as the Trinity of God, as the divine person of God, that is father, son, and mother of being is being demonstrated. That's the divine ideal. If we come to Christian science, to absolute Christian science, what do we demonstrate there? What must be there? Absolute Christian science has to do with the accent on idea.
Ideal ideas.
Ideal ideas, for instance. Yes, ideal ideas. The newness of ideas, because it's constantly something new there. So you begin to demonstrate new ideas. That's something we like very much. That there is always newness of life, newness of being. Not always the old thing. We demonstrate there the newness of idea. And what do we demonstrate then in Christian science? Quite generally, what must Christian science be? Must be that an opposite is being disproved. So we can call that in many words. It's always the same thing. How could you put it? We demonstrate what there? The nothingness of error, for instance, or in a more positive sense, we will call it the victory over error, but it's the same thing, Emma, it's all right. The victory over error, the victory over sin, sickness, and death. See, that's what is being demonstrated there. Can you see the enormous difference between the demonstration of on the level of science and on the level of Christian science? On the level of science, all our intention are directed towards bringing out really the glory of God, to demonstrate God as what God is. And on the level of Christian science, we go right down to something which is also positive, but it's demonstrating that error, sin, sickness, and death are nothing, that we have a victory over sin, sickness, and death. It's naturally the healing that is demonstrated there. Can you see a completely different field of application? Yes. Okay, tomorrow.